Chapter 14. The 5 a.m. Club grasps the essentialness of sleep. You cannot imagine the craving for rest I feel, a hunger and thirst. For 6 long days since my work was done, my mind has been a whirlpool, swift, unprogressive, and incessant, a torrent of thoughts leading nowhere, spinning round, swift and steady. H.G. Wells. The Roman sun rose even higher as the 3 companions gazed over the rooftops and at the Vatican. The streets were now noisy. The eternal city had come to life. Again, the Titan's hand went up into the air. Again, one could see another assistant appearing out of nowhere. This time, a man who appeared to be in his early 40s ran across the square, stood in its center, and pulled out a device that he spoke into, quickly and loudly. Within a minute, 3 women with scarves over their hair, like you would see in those wonderful Italian films of the 50s, appeared on 3 sparkling red Vespas. They parked them at the foot of the Spanish steps, right by the sculpture of the boat, before disappearing down Via delle Carrozze.
"Let's go, people," exclaimed the billionaire. "It's time to ride."
"But what's this about visiting the dead?" asked the entrepreneur. The creases on her forehead reawakened and her arms now crossed.
"Trust me. Hop on your scooter and follow me," the billionaire instructed.
The 3 companions wound their way through the ancient streets of Rome. Even the most unknown church or innocuous obelisk left them in a dreamy state of awe. The sunshine was dazzling now, as both the Romans and the tourists filled the boulevards. The city felt so alive. In one square they passed, a remarkably talented opera singer with a man standing next to her to collect money, touched the hearts of bystanders by singing like she had no tomorrow. As the billionaire, the entrepreneur, and the artist continued their trek along the roads of Rome, they saw yet another surreal sight. The Pyramid of Cestius, built between 18 and 12 BC as a tomb.
"An Egyptian-style pyramid in the heart of the Eternal City. Unbelievable," thought the artist as he tried to keep his eyes on the avenues.
Soon they were out of the city walls. The billionaire was still leading. The entrepreneur noticed, for the first time all morning, that the back of his t-shirt carried the wise words of Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers of the United States, who said, "The early morning has gold in its mouth." And on the back of his helmet was printed lettering that read, "Rise first, die last." "This man is a marvel," she thought, "one of a kind." The entrepreneur knew this sensational adventure would soon be coming to an end, but she hoped Mr. Riley would remain in her life. She not only had grown to admire him, she felt she needed him. They rode for a while, and then the billionaire motioned that they should stop on an eerily desolate side street. After they parked the scooters without saying a word, he beckoned his students to follow him, past a stone bust of the great Roman military general, Julius Caesar, down a series of stairs and into a dark and dusty tunnel.
"Where the heck are we?" asked the artist.
Beads of sweat had formed on the delicate skin under his eyes.
"Imagine you were right there with these 3 human beings, and just picture how the artist looked at this moment." "We're in the catacombs," announced the billionaire. "This is where the ancient Romans buried their dead. All these subterranean passageways are burial grounds, cemeteries, that date from the 2nd to the 5th century."
"And why are we here?" questioned the entrepreneur.
"I brought you to this crypt to make a point," stated the billionaire in his usual warm tone.
At that instant, the sound of footsteps could be heard, coming from the end of the tunnel. The artist glanced at the entrepreneur, eyes wide open. The billionaire didn't say a word. The footsteps could be heard growing closer and more forceful.
"I don't have a good feeling," commented the entrepreneur.
The footsteps continued as the hazy light of a candle struck a decrepit wall of the catacomb. Then the whole place went quiet. A lone figure slowly emerged, holding a tall candle and with a hood over his head,
the kind monks wear. No words were exchanged. It was all extremely mysterious. The intruder stood before the three friends. The candle was raised higher and moved in four circular motions. Then the hood came off. The face that was revealed was a familiar one, a face that had appeared at stadiums across the planet, and one that had inspired many millions to do amazing work, accomplish epic dreams, and lead legendary lives. It was the Spellbinder.
"My God, you scared me," the artist said, still sweating profusely. "Sorry. Stone told me to come down here. I got a little lost," apologized the Spellbinder. "Extraordinary place, these catacombs. It's a little creepy in here, though," he added, looking healthy, happy, and relaxed.
"Hey, buddy,"
declared the billionaire as he hugged his advisor and best friend.
"Thanks for showing up."
"Of course," the Spellbinder replied. "Well, let me get straight to the insights you wanted me to share with these two. You know I always come to play," he added with a low five, like you see pro basketball players giving teammates after making a successful free throw. "Mr. Riley asked me to share my thoughts on the value of deep sleep as an element of sustained elite creativity, peak productivity, and rare air performance with you. And he told me he wanted to do it down here, because not only are the inhabitants of this crypt in an endless slumber, but science now confirms that one of the primary ways we bring on an early death is by not sleeping enough."
"Really?" asked the entrepreneur, folding her arms once again. The light from the candle disclosed a simple silver engagement ring on a finger.
"No, you guys didn't,"
gushed the billionaire, glee emanating from his raspy voice. He did a quick, quirky dance move he hadn't done before. "We did," the entrepreneur and the artist responded together.
"And you're both invited to our wedding. It'll be small but special," the artist added.
"You're welcome to have the ceremony on my beach in Mauritius," offered the billionaire. "Heck, I'll treat you two cats by handling all costs. For you both, and for your families, and for all of your friends. The whole thing's all on me. It's the least I can do for you two new members of the 5 a.m. club. You trusted a crazy-looking old man. You came on this wild odyssey. You've been open to all the teachings. You've been doing the work. You two are my heroes."
The billionaire let out an urgent cough. Perhaps it was from the dust of the passageway. He then placed three fingers against his chest, right where his heart sat, and coughed again. "You okay?" asked the entrepreneur, unfolding her arms and touching one of his muscular shoulders.
"Yes."
"So," said the Spellbinder, "let me offer some insights on why it's not only the calibration of the first hour of your day that's mission essential for leadership excellence and exponential productivity, but also the management of the last hour of your evening, if you're truly serious about experiencing premium results."
He held the candle under his face, creating a near mystical effect.
"What makes genius-level performance is a delicate balance between the mastery of your morning routine and the optimization of your nightly ritual. You won't be able to orchestrate the 20-20-20 formula Stone walked you through this morning if you don't sleep properly."
"I'm almost always sleep-deprived," acknowledged the entrepreneur. "Sometimes I struggle to function. My memory is off, and I feel exhausted."
"Yeah," agreed the artist. "My sleep's a mess. I'm up a bunch of times through the night, but since I've been on this trip, I've slept good each night." "That's great to hear, because we're in the midst of a ferocious global sleep recession,"
vocalized the Spellbinder, clearly articulating the dramatic languaging he'd become internationally known for.
"The internet and social media and the widespread absorption with our devices are fueling much of it. Research is now confirming that the blue light emitted from our tools of technology reduces the amount of melatonin within us. Melatonin is a chemical that informs your body that it needs to get sleep.
There's zero doubt that checking your gadgets all day long impairs cognitive function, as you've learned. And there's no question at all that being in front of your screens before bedtime causes sleep dysfunction. I could go deeper and explain how the light of your devices activates photoreceptors called intrinsically photosensitive retinal ganglion cells that limit melatonin production and negatively affect your circadian rhythm, which hurts your sleep. But you get my point here.
I do, confirmed the entrepreneur. I really do. I'll restructure my pre-sleep routine so that I wake up at 5 a.m. feeling better and full of energy. I promise to do this so I rest well and so I can implement the 2020-20 formula flawlessly.
For the 66-day minimum, until it becomes an automatic habit, interjected the artist. And then for the rest of my life, so it actually becomes easier to run the 5 a.m. method than to stay in bed sleeping. When we don't sleep enough, the spellbinder picked up, not only is it fiercely difficult to get up early, but a number of other highly damaging things impair your productivity and minimize your performance, along with reducing your happiness and eroding your health.
Tell us, requested the entrepreneur.
Yes, tell them, encouraged the billionaire, now squatting in the catacomb. This posture's really good for your lower back as well as for your digestion, he added, oddly.
Well, when you sleep, and the key here is not only the quantity of sleep, but the quality of your sleep states, your neurons shrink by 60% as cerebral spinal fluid washes through your brain. It's also been discovered that the lymphatic system, which was previously believed to be only in your body, is in your skull, too. All this means that we, as human beings, have evolutionarily architected a powerful process to essentially wash the brain so it stays in optimum condition. And this cleansing mechanism only happens while we sleep.
Unbelievably interesting, the entrepreneur noted.
Tell them about HGH, implored the billionaire.
Sure, said the spellbinder. HGH, human growth hormone, is produced in the pituitary gland of the brain and is important for healthy tissues in your body, a strong functioning metabolism, and a long lifespan. Increased levels of HGH raise your moods, cognition, energy levels, and lean muscle mass, while reducing your cravings through the regulation of leptin and ghrelin. Here's the main point. While HGH is released through exercise, which is part of the reason pocket number one of the 2020-20 formula is such a game changer, 75% of HGH production happens when you sleep. And here's the real key. To maximize the process of the brain being washed properly and HGH being produced excellently so you expand your creativity, productivity, vitality, and longevity, you need 5 complete 90-minute sleep cycles. That's what the scientific studies are now confirming. That's 7.5 hours of sleep each night. You also should know that research proves that it's not only sleep deprivation that kills. Oversleep, 9 or more hours, also has been shown to shorten life.
Do you have a learning model for us that explains all this, so our awareness gets super clear and calibrated versus vague and lame? Asked the artist.
Good job, Stone. You taught them the 3-step success formula, applauded the spellbinder.
The billionaire, still near to the dirty floor of the crypt, nodded, then he burped.
Yes, I do have a framework for you, confirmed the spellbinder. I've deconstructed my own evening routine that has helped me consistently sleep wonderfully over all these years.
The spellbinder then pulled out a flashlight that had been hidden in his robe. He unscrewed the top portion, revealing a secret compartment in the tube. From it, he extracted 2 thin scrolls, handing one to the entrepreneur and the other to the artist. The diagram showing the pre-sleep ritual is found on the enhancement. I don't know how to thank you, the entrepreneur said. Both of you, she indicated, looking over to the billionaire, who was now doing sit-ups in the candlelight while whispering. Great fortune and weighty wisdom keep coming my way. I'm always a leader, never a victim. A lion, not a sheep. I love my life and am making it even better every day. And the more people I help, the more happy I am.
I second my beloved's gratitude, commented the artist.
He reached over and lovingly stroked the entrepreneur's hair. If the world knew and applied the philosophies and methodologies of the 5 a.m. Club, every human being alive would transform, the entrepreneur reinforced. And I now get that awakening with the sun isn't at all about getting by on less sleep. It's more the old early to bed, early to rise point.
And as each of us does our part to make our personal revolutions, every relationship in our life, from the one we have with our craft to the connections we share with each other, improves with us, offered the artist.
Sort of like Mahatma Gandhi's words, be the change you wish to see in the world, added the entrepreneur, her face glowing in the soft light of the candle as she rubbed her new ring. I read a little about his life before I went to sleep last night.
With all due respect, pronounced the spellbinder compassionately, Mahatma Gandhi's actual words have been adjusted over the years to become a soundbite that suits a culture experiencing a collective deficit of attention.
What he actually said, interrupted the billionaire, was if we could change ourselves, the tendencies in the world would also change. As a man changes his own nature, so does the attitude of the world change toward him. We need not wait to see what others do.
Awesome job, Stone, remarked the spellbinder, smiling. But I do appreciate your larger point, he said kindly to the entrepreneur. And of course you're right. My personal ask of both of you is that you'll share as many of the principles and mental models as you can with as many people as possible. Because, yes, if every business leader, commercial worker, scientist, artist, architect, political influencer, sports performer, teacher, mother, firefighter, father, taxi driver, daughter, and son simply installed the morning routine and nightly ritual we've shared with you, we'd have a whole new world. A lot less sadness, rudeness, mediocrity, and hate, and so much more creativity, beauty, peacefulness, and love. And now I need to leave, announced the spellbinder. See you tonight at dinner, Stone. Cachua Pepe's on the menu, right?
Of course, replied the billionaire as he stood up. He began to cough again and appeared unsteady for a moment. His left hand trembled. A leg wobbled. The spellbinder quickly looked away.
I need to go, was all he said before dissolving into the darkness of the tomb.
The three who remained made their way out of the crypt, back up the stairs, and into the blinding Roman sunlight. The billionaire started his scooter and waved for his guests to follow. They ventured down a maze of narrow streets, past an antiquated aqueduct, and back through city walls. Soon they were navigating the congested streets of the historical center, and traveling down Via dei Condotti. After parking their scooters, the entrepreneur and the artist followed the billionaire up the Spanish steps.
Well, he declared, this brings us full circle to where we began this morning's mentoring session at 5 a.m. Before I let you cats go for today, I have one last super gnarly model for you two. The spellbinder taught it to me when I was much younger, and it proved itself to be priceless. I know it'll wrap up this morning's teachings with a very neat bow.
The billionaire clapped his hands with a thunderous whap. A whirring noise could be heard in the distance, emanating from Villa Borghese. Soon the sound grew louder and closer. An object hovered above the heads of the billionaire, the entrepreneur, and the artist. Tourists sitting on the Spanish steps, sipping espresso and eating gelato, turned their eyes toward the heavens, trying to figure out what was going on. You would have enjoyed being there at that fabulous moment.
Mamma mia!
Cried an elderly woman in a free-flowing, flowery dress. She was holding a baby in one arm and a bouquet of glamorously colored tulips in the other.
It's a drone!
Yelled a teenage boy sporting a snapback cap, a denim jacket with doubt is not an option stitched into the back of it, and ripped jeans with humongous holes at the knees. For some unknown reason, he was barefoot. The billionaire began to expertly pilot the little aircraft to a precise landing as smooth as the surface of a lake on a sweltering summer afternoon. He winked at his two students.
Still got the gift, he beamed.
The drone carried a wooden box that, when opened, contained a thin sheet of glass with a learning model on it. The Amazing Day Deconstruction can be found on the enhancement.
I thought you guys would find this very detailed step-by-step game plan for an amazing day valuable. Of course, this is just one possible way to carve it out. You'll notice the evening regime is a little different from the Spellbinders. As usual, how you apply all these tactics we've shared is completely up to you. It's your life. Live it as you choose. And yet, this particular framework helped me tremendously, because it took many of the powerful elements of the 20-20-20 formula I walked you through earlier this morning, along with key aspects of a world-class pre-sleep process, and built them into an immensely specific daily map that anyone, and I do mean anyone, can run to experience amazing days consistently. It's like a food recipe. Follow the steps, and you'll get the results.
And amazing days create an upward spiral into amazing weeks, and amazing weeks morph into amazing months, stated the artist, closing his journal.
And amazing months become amazing quarters, and amazing quarters yield amazing years and decades, and ultimately, added the entrepreneur, closing her journal,
an amazing lifetime, the three said together. Day by day, step by step, an epic existence gets handcrafted, summed up the billionaire, wearing his fashionable shades, the kind the in-the-know Romans sport in their effortlessly stylish way, that displays an I-don't-try-too-hard-to-look-this-phenomenally-cool kind of attitude.
More seagulls flapped their wings and made those annoying sounds seagulls seemed to enjoy making. The billionaire was clearly an exceedingly loving soul, not just rich in money, but also wealthy of heart. But he did detest seagulls, and the way they had done a takeover of many of the rooftops in the core of Rome over the past few years.
Need to do something about those feathered creatures, he ruminated, displaying uncharacteristic irritation. Anywho, now you know why I brought you to the Spanish Steps. Generating explosive productivity, elite health, exceptional prosperity, sustained joy and boundless inner peace really is a step-by-step game. Small, daily, seemingly insignificant improvements, when done consistently over time, do yield staggering results. Daily micro-wins and infinitesimal optimizations really are the surest way to a life that you'll be ever so proud of at the end. This truly is one of my favorite places in the world, you know? I wanted you two to be with me to not only teach you the transformational process of the 20-20-20 formula, but also to reinforce the reality that living remarkably is indeed an upward spiral to the top of a staircase of success and significance. And as you take this journey toward the fullest experience of your highest greatness, step by step, a magic and beauty as obvious as you now witness here will infuse your days and only accelerate over your years. Of this, you can be sure. After carefully scanning the learning model on the glass, the entrepreneur wondered aloud, what's the 90-91 rule and the 60-10 method? And I don't understand some of these other notations.
And what do 2WW and 2MP on the framework stand for? Asked the artist.
You'll learn soon enough, the billionaire responded, generating suspense. You both should know I've saved the best and most valuable teachings for the end of our time together.
The billionaire then hugged the entrepreneur and the artist, tighter than ever before.
They could see tears slowly filling his eyes, big whales of water. "I love you too," he said. "Ci vediamo." And then he vanished.